Chip Ingram, the formidable Bible teacher, said, "The ancient path of communion with God is knowing what He's really like. And prayer and family devotions, reading the Word of God, is simply keeping company with God." Can somebody say amen on Friday morning? Holy Father God, help all Christian families to, if they have not started a family altar or family devotion period in the morning, preferably a great while before day, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would lead every young Christian family, particularly, to have a family devotion together, even if it's just the wife and the husband. Help them to pray together. We know that the devil will fight it and have all kinds of crazy things fly through our thoughts and our minds. When we do that, it will be a battle. It will not always be fun. It will be difficult. It will be a fight. But Lord, it will be worth it. And so we pray that every Christian family would either start a family devotion or family altar or go back to it. Yes, even if they have failed. And yes, even if they have not done it in years, 2 or 3 years, because they got mad at each other, the devil got them mad at each other, or because that will happen, it will happen, it will happen. And oftentimes there are people who can't get back on the horse, so to speak. And so we pray that you would help those who have fallen off the prayer horse to get back on the prayer horse and ride again. For your glory, praise, and honor, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 20, you say, "Well, preacher, I'm driving right now, so I would prefer to listen." So, well, you do what you want to do. That's fine. Verse 10, "Finally, my brethren," here's what God wants you to do. He wants you to understand you need to have a warrior mentality. Because you're going to have a battle today whether you want one or not. And I don't care if you're on vacation. And if you're a child of God, the devil and his demons are going to meet you there and tempt you and cause all kinds of little issues and problems. He had a situation not too long ago. I told one of my sons to go and just close the window. He felt inclined to try to move the heavy cabinet, stocked up with all kinds of big, huge, heavy books, to close the window, and all he had to do was reach around there and just close the window down. And so, next time we saw him, he was on the pile of books. Being thankful, I'm sure, that he survived. Whole cabinet fell down. All kinds of weird things like that are happening out of the blue. And so when you're praying and you're trying to do something for God, the devil will do anything. Anyway, so here's how you need to deal with that. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles means tricks of the devil. One of the biggest tricks he pulls on you is to make you think he does not exist. I'm reminded of the story of the boxer. He was in the ring being pummeled. He was being beaten half to death. And every time he would go to the corner, his coach, his manager would say, he hadn't laid a hand on you. Look at you. You're looking good. He hadn't laid a hand on you. You could hardly see. And the boxer turned around to the coach and said, somebody need to check that referee because somebody beating the hell out of me. The devil is invisible, but he is out to get you. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's not seeking just to trip you up. He is doing that. He will do that. He will try to hinder you, but ultimately he is seeking to destroy you. And all of us know of preachers who were once on the firing line for Jesus and now on the shelf because the devil picked them up and put them on the shelf. So here's what you need to do further. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Understand that you're not battling with your wife or with your husband or with your children. There's something more sinister behind all of that. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, yes, we read this passage every day for 30 years in our family. It's a part of our family devotion. We dealt with the wife first, dealt with the husband second, dealt with the children third, according to the word of God. Dealt with the parents fourth, and dealt with spiritual warfare fifth, because it all goes together. One of the most powerful and important passages that a family can read together are Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. If you have issues in your marriage, some of you husbands, you got sweet, submissive, cheerful, joyful, loving wives and mothers. You don't need to read that every day, man. But if you got a rebellious, stubborn woman on your hands, you better read this every day and remind her of her duties, because evidently she has forgotten. If you got stubborn, rebellious children, you need to read it every day. For the most part, growing up into the early teens, for the most part, my children were did quite well. Partly because I had to chastise them, and I did chastise them growing up, and so I didn't have that many problems with them. My problem was with my wife being rebellious and stubborn and disobedient, and so I would read this passage, including this passage right here. Because I saw the devil using her to try to hinder the gospel going out and trying to hinder God's work. And so I had to remind her what God said to her. And I told her, this is between you and God, not between you and me. I'm the authority figure here. I don't have any issues with anybody. You may have an issue with me, but I'm going to tell you what to do, and you need to do that. And whether you like it or not. And I would remind her from the Word of God what her role is. And I would remind her particularly about this passage, how that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. What you're doing and saying is of the devil, and it comes straight from the devil. And so that, what that did was it tapped the evil that she was doing down so that we could have peace in this household. And so if you need to do that, sir, do that, and God will bless you. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, oh yes, you got to have it, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of the things we want to avoid making is praying and not reading the Word of God at the same time. Jesus said that we cannot live by bread alone. We need to pray and read the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. And most importantly, we need to obey the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We would have never made it without praying, without ceasing, and reading and being reminded of obeying the Word of God, and actually obeying the Word of God. And for me, he said, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Can somebody say amen to the Word of God on Friday morning? Our devotional Bible passage reading this morning is Psalm 72, 9 through 17. And let me remind you this morning that if you don't trust in God, you don't love God back and express that to him, if you don't fear God, that means if you don't reverence God, if you don't obey God, if you don't fear God, if you don't respect him. See, when you respect God, you will obey God. When you fear God, you will obey him. And God wants you to obey him, and he wants you to be faithful in obeying him. And if you're not doing that, or at least striving to do that with God's help, beloved, you are not you're not going to live a happy life. You're not going to experience the blessed life. You're not going to be cheerful in your soul, and you can't fake cheerfulness. You can fake happiness like so many people are doing today. You know it's true. It's disgusting. This happy talk that people do. And I don't care what sphere it is. We got a bunch of fake happy Christians. Their lives are falling apart. And yet they're saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. You're a lie. God does not bless your evil. Constantly talking about your enemies biting at you, and there is all that's in your mind. You're destroying yourself because of the evil and the sin that you're committing, and the disobedience and the disrespect and disobedience towards God. And that's why your life is miserable, because you refuse to obey the Word of God, the plain Word of God, going around looking for the will of God when you won't obey the plain Word of God right in front of you. And not only that, won't even read it. And that's why your life is miserable. And yet you go out living behind Facebook, you liar, trying to make people think that you're so happy living behind emojis and with your little fake happy faces, and you're the most unhappiest person in the world. One, because you're full of hell and the devil yourself. And two, you won't listen to God. You won't obey God. Number three, you won't obey His, you won't obey His word. Number three, you won't obey wise counsel. You won't obey your own parents. And you won't do what you know to be right for the glory of God. And that's why people have to always pump you up at Starbucks. Your girlfriend's got to always, it is sickening. Everybody got to always pump you up. You're always depressed, always defeated, always disgusted. You never reach your hand out to help anybody else. Everybody got to put their hand forward to help you. And you like it like that. You want to be the center of attention. You want to steal the spotlight from Jesus and put it on yourself. Why? Because you're not stable. Why are you not stable? Because you don't read the Word of God daily. And throughout the day, you don't meditate on the Word. You meditate on trash. You're more concerned about what Kim and them are doing in the Kardashian family than you are concerned about what David did in his family in the Bible, in the family of God. You're feeding on trash instead of the Word of God, and that's why you're miserable. You're spiritually sick. And you want the poor pastor. I'm surprised more pastors have not had heart attacks. I am not shocked. I am not shocked that some pastors have to drink a glass of wine every evening to stay alive, because you're draining them half to death. Where they got to pump you up every Sunday out of your sin. And then you go right back into your sin. And they'll shout you out of there. They'll try to shout you out of there. And then as soon as you get to the car, the shout is out. Verse 9, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Verse 15, and he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. Amen, somebody. Daily there shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Somebody ought to say amen to the word of God. Join us, ladies and gentlemen, in praying for government leaders and all other leaders and all other men and women in the world, for everybody needs prayer today. There's nobody who does not need prayer. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the president that we have now. Thank you for the privilege to pray for previous presidents. And Lord, we pray now for the president that we have. We pray for President Donald Trump and his family and his administration. We pray that you'd give him and them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would lead them and guide them and direct them as to what to do. And Lord, give them wisdom far beyond their years. Give them understanding far beyond their years. We pray this for each member of the White House staff. We pray for the leaders of federal agencies, all members of Congress, all governors, mayors, police chiefs, and sheriffs. We pray for all military leaders who were rebuked last night by the president publicly. And there are some differences, but we pray for all of our military leaders. We pray for General James Mad Dog Mattis, and we pray for all of the chief of we pray for the chief of staff and the joint chief, the generals board, and we pray for them that you'll lead, guide, and direct them to work as one under the leadership of the president on what needs to be done going forward. And Holy Father God, we pray for the leaders of all nations around the world as well. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we pray for church leadership around the world, that church leadership would stand. Amen. We pray for those who this right here is showing something different than this. You need to reconnect the two. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you lead, guide, and direct these leaders. We pray for the salvation of religious leaders, church leaders who are lost but were just raised up in the church and never born again. We pray for those of us who are saved that you would revive us again. We pray for the current events happening in the world all around us. Lord, you know all about them. And we only mention a little bit to you. We pray for the families of the 22 people killed by Tropical Storm Nate in Central America. Another hurricane coming our way as well. We pray for the safety of all those who remain in the storm's path. We also pray for the hundreds of folk who were injured in this awful shooting in America, that you would comfort them as only you can, comfort the families that lost loved ones, and give them courage in the black and dark night when they're lying on their bed alone and the media is not around. Speaking of the media, we pray for the media that you will lead, guide, and direct them to report the truth and to not embellish it, and to not be the news, and to not create news. We pray, Lord, for the prayer requests, some of the prayer requests that have come in to us. We have hundreds, and help all of us, our staff and team, to pray without ceasing throughout this day, around the clock. We pray for Tiffany. Please bless her husband, Emmanuel, and his work at St. Jude and help him to keep his job. Please save Janice and Susan and help them to be nicer and fair to everyone, and bless her and her family with good health and save everybody's soul. And we pray, Holy Father God, that you'd help young people to learn how to keep a job without compromising their Christian principles. We pray for Coral. Please bless them with a good reply from the Canadian High Commission in New Delhi and approve their application so they can move from India to Canada. Holy Father God, we do pray for all of our Christian friends in India who participate in our services and devotions and listen to us each and every day via their cell phone or some other device all across India. And we thank you, Lord, for all of the invitations to come to India. And but one of the reasons why I'm getting all of these invitations is because I'm able to broadcast live and on demand all across India through the internet. And so, Lord, help us to continue to do that. And we pray that souls would continue to be saved, lives would continue to be changed. We pray for Jyothi. Please heal her of her tumor without having to get an operation. And please protect her unborn baby. Please give her and her baby complete healing and good health. Now, Lord God in heaven, we pray for those who have been saved through this ministry. And we only pray for a few. We pray for Isaac. We pray for Joel. We pray for Tinga. Help these to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray also for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray that you'll help these to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Arthur, Lovish, and we pray for Harry. We commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading this morning is simply titled, Life is a Temporary Assignment, Part 4, from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. One of the greatest books ever written, and not only because of the content, but Rick Warren and his team, they did an excellent job of writing this book. Some of the best writing you will ever want to read. But that's not the reason why I am reading this book and treating this book as a devotional. And I'm sure that he never thought that it would be a devotional. One of the things that I kind of was put out about is that I was disappointed that people who have been, who were Christians for 30, 40, 50 years did not understand their purpose in life. But I was happy about the book for young people, teenagers, and for young adults. What a treasure it is for people like that to get their bearings in life. I was just shocked and taken aback at how many older saints who had been saved for 30, 40, 50 years, they were just as giddy about reading the book and finding their purpose as the young people should have been. And so if you've been saved by Jesus for 20, 30 years, man, the Holy Spirit of God should have shown you your purpose. You should know that. And so we're just so off base today that a basic fundamental Bible study book, that's what this is, however uniquely written, We think that's something greater than sliced bread, and it's not. All he did was take basic Bible doctrine and put it in a wonderful way, stuff that all of us who've been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30 years should know. And I was disappointed that so many people who had been saved a long time were just finding their purpose in life. I don't understand that, because I believe the Holy Spirit of God himself will show you through his word your purpose. But anyway, I thought it was great primarily for young people, so I started reading it to my children. He goes on to say, compared with other centuries, life has never been easier for much of the Western world. And he's right about that. We are constantly entertained, aren't we? Some of you love Homeland. You still watch it. Some of you and some of us like to watch Mad Men. Many of us like to listen to music while we're riding down the road. We are entertained, amused, and catered to with all the fascinating attractions, mesmerizing media, and enjoyable experiences available today. It's easy to forget that the pursuit of happiness, my God help us, is not what life is about. Only as we remember that life is a test, a trust, and a temporary assignment will the appeal of these things lose their grip on our lives. And this is why this book is so valuable, for reminding young people particularly, but everybody, what life is about. It is a test. It is a trust. It is a temporary assignment. So there's no need in you and getting all up and all been out of shape trying to make heaven here, because this is not heaven. We are preparing for something even better. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. And you need to focus on that. Jesus, in fact, told us that. The fact that earth is not our ultimate home, we're just passing through, explains why, as followers of Jesus, we experience difficulty, don't we? I know that there's some people who, some Christians think that you ought to always be happy, always, everything ought to be going your way, and should not have any problems, and that's just not the case. And watch this, my dear friends. Those people who preach that, they have some of the most jacked up lives you'll ever want to see. Flat, jacked up. Jacked up. These people who preach the lie that everything ought to go your way, everything ought to go smoothly, you're not having any problems, the devil is a lie, you're the head, you're not the tail, you're highly favored of God, you highly favored blessed one, they come with all kinds of things. And their lives are, listen to me very carefully. I don't know. I know you don't like it. I know you want to cut me off. Their lives are the most jacked up lives in the church and in the community. They wave their hands saying how wonderful life ought to be for you. And so sweet and wonderful and dandy. and they're living the most lying, jacked up lives known to mankind. Marriages are shot to hell, been married two or three times. Children are pregnant or getting folk pregnant or in jail. You think they're rich and got a whole lot of money, and come to find out they're bankrupt. Getting ready to lose the house, the church, the doghouse, the car, and everything. They have to immediately raise $2 million just to make it. Are you kidding me? People, that's not what life is about. But anyway, we experience difficulty in real life, sorrow, and rejection in this world. People are not going to like you. You're in trouble, dear Christian preacher, friend, if the world likes you. And if they do, they don't respect you. Even to this day, very few preachers are called up, pardon me, to deal with crisis in America. Even this shooting, I've only seen one preacher on television. They don't call. Mega pastors, man, with millions of folks, followers, they don't even call them because they don't respect you. They got you in their pocket, and they know it, so they're not going to call on you. It also explains why some of God's promises seem unfulfilled. Some prayers seem unanswered, and some circumstances seem unfair. This is not the end of the story, my beloved. When we leave here, it really begins. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for a divine perspective. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And help us all to be reminded, for much of ministry is reminding people of what you said. For the devil and the flesh and the world has a way of snatching your divine word out of the hearts of people, even the best of saints. And we need to be reminded that this world is not my home. We're just a passing through. And so, Holy Father, God, help us to keep that in mind today. Help us to put you first, to put your work first and others, and the things of life last, and so that others may come to know your Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. So, beloved, those of you who have happened upon us, and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer in Christ, you know that you're not. A lady tried to tell me one time, because your father's a preacher and your mother's a preacher and we're in church right now, I know that you're a Christian. She asked me, was I a Christian? I said, no, I'm not. I was a young man at the time. I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. I knew I wasn't. See, and you know you're not. You know you're not saved. You go to church and so forth, and you shake hands and take communion even, but you know deep down in your soul you're not saved. You don't have the witness of the Spirit. You don't even know Jesus. And so if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. It's the greatest life insurance policy you'll ever take, and it's free. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved, my beloved. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ personally has some words for you. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." These are the most beautiful words ever spoken on this earth. They still ring true today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was speaking of himself. His name is Jesus. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? Perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou you shall be saved. Put your faith, your heart's faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Not me, not a preacher, not a church. Church membership will not save your soul. There are millions of folk in hell who have a church membership certificate. A baptismal certificate will not make it. If there's no blood on it from Jesus, the baptismal ticket or certificate will not get you into heaven. Doing good works will not help you. Helping old ladies across the street, giving a lot of money to the church. You can write a $10,000 check to the church and still go to hell, because that will not save you. The only somebody who can save you is Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, makes it very simple for you and me, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. There's nothing else to be saved from. Saved from the punishment of your sins in hell. What sins? Your lying, your dishonesty, your deceit, your not paying your taxes, your hateful attitude towards your mother and your father, your rebelliousness, your adultery, your fornication. For we all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. And there is a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. We die physically. Our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we don't trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be saved today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Pray and ask him to save you with your mouth. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart as I pray the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a wicked sinner like everybody else. I don't like saying that, and I don't like thinking of myself that way, but I am. Please have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul, and forgive me of all of my sins that I've committed against you, where I have broken your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, and I pray that you would save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me, was buried, and rose again, and who is sitting at your right hand right now as I pray. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I thank you by faith for saving my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life, turning away from my old life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, my beloved, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right there where you are, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell. The hell that you would have gone to for your sins. And you are on your way to heaven by the grace of God, not by anything you have done. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.